This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the Missouri side, I-70 westbound, new trouble past 18th Street. Accident blocks the left lane. Heavy from around 27th Street and building delays now. Lee's Summit, US 50 westbound, slow from 291 south up to 470. 71 northbound, slow from 87th up to Gregory. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic.
Diving into it on a Tuesday, it's a really good day if you're Mac or Bob, for obvious reasons. So I'll go play golf.
I just want to win, Jim.
No doubt about it. You are going to win today. I have full faith in you for that. The Royals, speaking of winning, they will play the Tampa Bay Rays tonight at 6:05. That means Vern's On Deck show starts at 5 o'clock. The sophomore album continues to roll through as they go play Tampa Bay. Michael Lorenzen. Or Jared Lorenzen, whatever you want to call him. Michael Lorenzen, he gets the start tonight. 6:05, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Bobby Witt Jr.'s 19-game hit streak on the line.
Who's pitching for Tampa, did you say?
Never heard of him.
Yeah, exactly. Some guy that used to like teach industrial arts at the high school or something like that.
Nah, he's probably like a stud. We're going to look like a bunch of clowns.
Well, yeah.
But let's see.
Somebody we've never seen against the Royals. Yeah, no runs and one hit. I mean, that's just the way it goes, right? That's baseball, as they like to say.
It is... Taj Bradley.
Oh, I don't. Is he really Milton?
2-1. Yeah, 2-1. 5.08 ERA. 1.38 WHIP. 27 strikeouts. 12 walks.
So you ought to pound that guy.
I've been pounded this week.
No doubt. I could even hold in the laugh. Speaking of pounding, you want this Royals team to pound the free or the trade market?
I do. Vern said something yesterday, kind of in passing, and he said, you know, we were talking about guys you could acquire, and Vern says, I don't know, eat some money maybe, and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of an interesting approach to you know be in a trade. If you're not going to have the players available, be willing to eat more of the money that the team or the player has remaining on his contract. And Nolan Arenado is a guy right now that is kind of available, right? He was available all offseason to be traded.
Wants to do business with St. Louis.
Well, I think when you have
Stop
a good player, but it has nothing to do
no,
with
I
the
know,
Cardinals. They're a bad team. Nobody's going. They're a hockey town without a football team. Quite honestly, if it just fell into the river and washed away, I wouldn't lose any sleep over St. Louis. Yeah. Take their Provel cheese with them and shove it up their ass. But so Nolan Arenado, I'm trying to do this guy a favor and getting him over to the right side of the state here. He's got 2 years left on his contract after this year. Kind of available right now. Dude's hitting 255, which would be the second best batter in the lineup right now. Hall of Famer in 2025 baseball,
the
hitting 225.
Yeah.
He's not a full time guy yet, right? So until he gets a full time, but like as Vern said yesterday, go eat some salary. And Nolan Arenado is that guy because he fills a need too, right? You kind of need a third baseman right now. How much better would your lineup be if you had him as your everyday third baseman? Then you could focus Jonathan India on playing left field, or maybe you just move him to second base. And then put, you know, Michael Garcia out in left field. Like, it creates not only options for you, it creates some good options for you and makes you better at a position that you're currently not so great at. And I'm talking about third base. We need some help over there at that hot corner, as they like to say. Acquiring a guy like they did in 2014, like Ty Willingham, like that doesn't cut the mustard right now for this team. I loved Vern's comment yesterday about, I don't know, eat some salary maybe, and that's the way you're going to get guys. You got to be bold in this situation. And the other thing that Vern kind of talked about yesterday that has me thinking Nolan Arenado is the right fit is like, we got a pretty good rotation going on right now, right? I mean, these guys are top-notch. You're not going to get a rotation that pitches this well. you have to try to maximize what this rotation is doing right now. As we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, World Series rotation, minor league lineup. You go out there and make a bold move, get Nolan Arenado, be willing to eat the last 2 years of his contract. And again, I don't care about the contract prices for players in professional sports. If teams make moves, they can do it. It's not my concern. I don't know why fans concern themselves with salaries and if they can afford guys or not. You go out there and you make that move. Fans will be excited about it. The interest will be at a higher level than it is right now, and you're positioning your team to really challenge for the postseason, and you're not wasting this pitching right now. And with 2027 becoming a year that a lot of people are saying could be a lockout, could be a washed year, why not go balls to the wall and go for it right now and do something bold, do something like the Royals have never really done before, and that's go out and get a superstar player before or at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the wish, right? And then, like you said, Ty Willingham seems to be the guy. Like, last year you lost all those arms and those bats, and you went and got, you know, Gurriel and Tommy Pham and guys like that that were just kind of like, you know, all together were one, but all did one certain thing better, and they could just use them strategically with the Royals lineup. Like, I'm all for that. Obviously, it's really early.
Sure it is.
So, like, there's always one team that kind of bucks the trend and gets somebody way too early or starts the trade, you know, before everybody else does. Normally, it's New York or it's the Giants or somebody like that that goes and gets somebody to just you wouldn't think would be like a name that goes to that team. Arenado's interesting. The Cardinals are interesting because obviously Mozeliak is, I think, stepping down after this year.
That was my next point. They got a new GM taking over right now.
And Arenado was unhappy because they didn't make any moves in the offseason. They let Goldschmidt walk. They were done with him. He's now tearing it up in New York. Arenado, they didn't add anything
to
him.
In New York. You're playing in St. Louis versus New York. Of course you're going to play better. It's a better place.
Take that Provel cheese, show it up your ass. Yeah,
exactly.
Kind of like Provel cheese.
I know, it's pretty good.
But like, it's a suppository.
But like the thing that the Royals need is what I go back to Vern last year is the toughest thing to acquire, which kind of feeds to your theory. If they do this, it'd be nuts. But what does fit them that's against everything at the trade deadline is they have the hardest things to acquire. They have a bullpen and they have a starting rotation. So they don't have to worry about any of that. Now, in order to go get something, you have to give up something of value, right? Like,
which is why I think you probably got to eat salary because there ain't much to give up in the minor league system right now for the Royals.
Right, and people are going to be funny and cute and say, well, what do you want for Cags? Like, not a chance.
Of course, every team should be calling and saying, hey, we want Cags. What are you willing to have back in return? You know?
And there's guys like Crosses down there as well and, you know, other names that could be somebody that they could move. But they do have, when it comes to acquiring something, they do kind of have the easier thing to go get, and that is a bat. Like, pitch arms are
hard
to find at the trade deadline because people don't want to give them up because at the end of the day, it's always like, we need pitching to get there. The Royals are showing that they have the pitching to get there. They just have nothing on offense, and I don't even know if it would take somebody like an Arenado or a Willingham, like you had mentioned before.
Well, no, Ty Willingham was that guy they got in 14 and was like a pinch hit guy.
Josh Willingham.
Yeah, whatever
and,
his name was.
No, yeah. And
that, so, I don't want that. That's not making a move.
No, yeah. I get that. But like, you've also got to like wait and see too, to see what teams are falling out of it. Like, what's Pittsburgh going to do? Like, is that team going to blow it up?
Because, is O'Neill Cruz available? Can we go get him?
I mean,
I would trade Cags for him right now. Cause that guy's proven at the big league level.
Yeah. I'd probably, that would haunt my dreams. But yeah, it would be something like that. So, I mean, I think that that's kind of where it's at, where like, if you look at this Royals roster, like, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time because you're realizing what you're going to need to take that next step, but you're also seeing what you have to make that next step as you go back to World Series rotation, minor league, you know, lineup, and you have the superstar. You got to think Sal's gotten his way out of it after that doubleheader.
It feels like it. Yeah.
He's kind of starting to come back. So you have that, but you know, the biggest problem is like you have that guy of any who's not hitting. And yeah, I assume that Mark Canna will eventually come down to earth and not hit 337.
Yeah,
he'll hit
course.
Up like, you know, 260, 265. But, you know, you bring in a third baseman like Arenado, like, I think that's where Michael Garcia plays. And I think you put India at second, and then your outfield, you have Canna in left, Isbell in center, and then right field's going to be, one night it's going to be Renfro, the other night it's going to be somebody else, and that's just the way it's going to go. But, like,
Until how much longer can you keep running Massey out there?
He's got too many options, and I don't think that he's going to be up here if he keeps hitting the way he is. Right. He's going to get sent down. But that's where I think you see the shift of, because seeing India play left field, I don't like that as much as I think I should. And then you put him at second, you put Garcia at third, and then you run that platoon of an outfield with Waters in right or Waters in center and Isbell in right and Canna in left. And that's what it is until either A, somebody gets called up, or B, Sherman's like, all right, JJ, I've got a check. I've got a budget. It should fit these four players. Let's go get one of them. If one of them is Arenado, then yeah, that's fine. That's a veteran leader at that lineup position that can also play third base, and it makes your team deeper, your lineup better.
Oh, huge.
So yeah,
difference.
I mean, like, I'd be interested in that because you're seeing what's going on with your team right now. You have the pitching. You have a top five rotation, top two in the American League, and you have the bottom two in lineups. So
yeah.
And you got to be better than the Rockies, and you got to be better than the White Sox. And that's right now the competition you're in. One is the worst team that we've ever seen last year, and the other one is trending to be one of the worst teams we've ever seen in the history of the game.
Yeah, they're on pace for 23 wins out in Colorado. And so that's kind of where the Royals are. And they're still floating under 500 at this point in time, right? As we get ready to flip that calendar, you kind of know where you are. I don't think it's any secret that the Royals right now are void of a bat. Again, a lot of teams in baseball are void of bats. It's not a really good year when it comes to hitting in Major League Baseball. But if there's a bat available, even at a 255 clip like Nolan Arenado, and he's got two more years on his contract, you got a major need at third base. That's a guy you go out there and get. And if you were to send Massey down, who's coming up? Lofton? And does Lofton really move the needle and make you that much better at the big league level? I don't know the answer to that question. So I think the help, the reinforcements have to come from outside the organization, and getting a Josh Willingham or some slappy that you never heard of, that's not making a move. That doesn't count. Making a move is going out and getting a legitimate player like they did when they got Johnny Cueto, or they did when they got Ben Zobrist. We've got a window here in Kansas City. You got to capitalize on that. The first 30 games are done. You know what your team is about. The next 30 to 40 games will be spent evaluating some of these other teams and where they're at and figuring out how you can get yourself better. And hopefully a month from now, we're starting to talk about teams that are out of it, teams that we can poach players from, guys that may be available at the trade deadline, and the Royals start kind of getting moving in that direction. And hopefully they tread water for that next month as well, too. And the starting pitching keeps them in games where they don't have to go out and score a lot to win.
Max, a little side note is that Arenado has a no-trade clause.
He does, but he was willing to waive that this offseason.
Yeah,
he was. He had a list of teams, yes.
Yeah, he was willing to waive that this offseason, and I'm sure...
Yankees, Dodgers, Giants,
yep.
So
that's it.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Like Padres,
where,
Red Sox.
Yeah, where he wants to or does not want to go to.
Where he will go.
List of teams that he would go to.
He would, because I think the Yankees wanted him, and I don't think he would waive his... I don't think he was waiving his no-trade clause for the Yankees this offseason. So it just depends what the player wants to do. You're in a situation like St. Louis, they're not winning games. You got a chance to go to a winner and be part of something good and play next to Bobby Witt Jr. You're probably going to waive that no-trade clause if Kansas City's on that list.
Yeah.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One word on the Royals tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Win.
Just win, baby.
I just want to win, Jen.
I mean, you're playing Tampa. I mean, there's not a lot of excitement in that. It's at a minor league ballpark. Take care of business.
Are they going to? How much? When are they moving?
Next year.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I saw like Orlando's now coming to the plate with $1.5 billion to build the stadium. John Sherman, you listening? Kansas and Missouri can't figure this thing out. Orlando's coming to the place with $1.5 billion of money down there, plus the billion that John's willing to kick in. There's $2.5 billion to move this thing to Orlando right now. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I mean, look what happened in D.C. yesterday. They got their stadium deal done.
Yep.
The Bears are getting ready to sue to get out of their lease so they can move to a new stadium. And now you got Orlando putting up $1.5 billion of money saying, we're ready for a baseball team. John Sherman's pledged $1 billion for the Royal Stadium himself. And so you combine that. That's a baseball stadium in Orlando. We'll see what happens.
Damn. Mirror image is two words, but that is what you're playing tonight. Tampa Bay 14-14 on the season. They have similar numbers. They're obviously better on the offensive side, but their pitching is still kind of the same. They're 6th, 7th in ranks when it comes to hits, earned run average. 14-14, Tampa Bay third in the AL East. Kansas City 14-15, third in the AL Central. You're playing yourself, but you're playing them in a minor league ballpark. You need to break out of this slump of this offense. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready for it. Let's see what happens. But, yeah, you're playing a mirror image of yourself.
Yep, keep the hot streak alive. One word on Eric Spoelstra last night. The Miami Heat got swept by the Cavaliers. It was an absolute clinic. They were down by 50 points at halftime.
60, I thought, at one point, too, right?
They got down to 66 or so. It was abysmal. It was an atrocity. It was an embarrassment to the game of basketball.
What channel was that on?
TNT?
Yeah, TNT. James Maysmith was rolling TNT. Around. One word on Eric Spoelstra after getting swept. This is what he has to say. Only his third time in his long career of getting swept.
But damn, it was humbling. You know, this series was humbling. These last two games were embarrassing. But Cleveland's also a very good team. We won whatever we won. They won 65. We're as irrational as we usually are, thinking that we have a chance to win this series. And they showed us why, you know, we weren't ready, you know.
Refreshing. It's good to hear truth in sports. We'll get to another truth bomb here in a second. But I like it when you know, folks tell the truth and as opposed to trying to sugarcoat something. They got their ass kicked in that series.
Vacation.
Yeah, Cancun.
Hearing that response, that dude's ready
Galveston.
To just, yeah, get out of there, man. Like, get out of Miami, get out of South Beach, go to Aruba, Jamaica, wherever you want to take you. Get on vacation, because that's a guy that, like you said, humbling. That's a knockout punch, man.
It was, man.
That's a street fight where you think you got the guy, your girlfriend's there watching, you get knocked out on one hit. It's like, what do we do from here? Like,
you like that dude people? On the golf course the other day got beat up in front of his wife, you know?
Better pick up the pace of play, Randy.
I mean, I like it. It doesn't change the way that I feel about Eric Spoelstra. He will never be in that same category as a Pop or a Pat Riley, but should be. He's a great coach.
Yeah, great leader.
He's unbelievable. And I'm not just talking the NBA. I'm talking sports in general. Mm. This is one of the best coaches in professional sports. His team was, I mean, you dealt with that Jimmy Butler crap all year long. So I'm sure they're glad just to go to Galveston now and be done with this thing.
Yeah, he's done more with less over the last few years. It finally came to the point where it was done, and they needed some roster reconstruction.
It's fine. It happens.
I'm excited to see what they do.
I feel like he's like the McVay of the NBA. Like, he's not young as you think, obviously. Like, McVay's like not even 40
yet. But
when
he came on the scene, he was.
Yeah. And he won, and he had a system, and he had a believable, like, way of himself.
Yeah,
and then
we
always talk about, like, Popovich and, you know, all these other older coaches in the league. You're like, here's this young dude that does it differently and is successful at it, but let's just not talk about it.
Well, but here's the difference in all that. It's very much Andy Reid, Brett Veach. He's working with Pat Riley, right? Pat Riley's going to get all the credit in the world for that. Oh, Pat Riley did this, Pat Riley. Constantly under Pat Riley's shadow. Same thing, Andy Reid. Meanwhile, you got Brett Veach doing all this stuff, but he's under Andy Reid's shadow because they're two of the greatest that have ever done their jobs that are running these organizations now.
And he's got to win without LeBron. He's been to the finals, but he's not won without him. But one word on, sticking in the NBA, one word on Charles Barkley. This was from not last night, two nights ago, following the what was a rather, well, you'll hear it.
And two of them have been by the Indiana Pacers over Milwaukee.
Sleepy baby.
Yeah.
Sleep nights, man.
I'm bored, brother. I ain't gonna even lie. That wasn't even worth watching.
That was after the Pacers-Bucks game where the Pacers dropped the Bucks.
I'll use the same term, refreshing, to hear that, because it's good when an analyst is honest with the listeners. If a game isn't good, don't try to make it a good game. The team isn't playing good. Don't tell me about their hard hit rate and their exit velo. Like, you're insulting the intelligence of fans. Fans are smart. They know. You don't need Charles Barkley up there on set trying to, you know, polish a turd. A game's bad. It's okay to admit that. Fans aren't stupid. They understand what they're watching. I just don't like when broadcasters try to insult the intelligence of the fans. Like, this is really good. They're 7-21, Steve.
It's informative. It lets us know that you don't need a 7-game series in the first round.
Yes, then that's another great point, Dusty.
I mean, like, go back to 5 in this round. This is.
Is every one of these 3-1?
It'd be like adding another.
No, not everyone.
Not all of them.
Is Clippers Nuggets is 2-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the only one?
Yeah, that may be.
Because everyone I've seen 3-1, 3-1, 3-1.
Which is crazy because they're great. Like, Pistons Knicks is a great 3-1 last night. Warriors Rock, great 3-1. Like, but it's just 3-1.
Both one seeds swept their competition.
Yep.
They both went 4 games. One seed Oklahoma City, done. The one seed Cleveland Cavaliers, done.
Are they debating now, is there too much rest between the first and second rounds?
Oh, we do this every year.
I know, it's so stupid.
It's rest or rest.
Rinse, repeat. Yeah. Of course.
No, I think it's informative. Go back to five games in the first round.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to win a five-game series, too. I think it'd be more intense. It'd be fun. One word on Bill Simmons yesterday, and his podcast came out with Ryan Russillo. He said, you know, like, I don't know if you're not having fun watching Steph Curry, who's having Steph Curry nights, you know, I don't know what you're doing. It's
are there people that don't like Steph Curry?
I don't know if it's eating a piece of candy.
It's like chocolate cake. It's like apple pie.
Exactly.
Warm apple pie a la mode style.
Uh-huh. Just tell your mother we ate it all.
Exactly. Who doesn't like watching Steph again? Like, I'm not an NBA fan, but I
don't know, man. But I'm sure there's haters out there. You saw that one commenter on Twitter. I don't like Steph Curry. I'm butthurt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was some Cavs fan was the first comment
like
on there that, like, went into some nerd, like, conversation about why he doesn't like to watch Steph Curry. If you're watching that, you need a break from sports, pal. Go talk to a girl.
Yeah, they blew a 3-1 lead 9 years ago. Like, come on, man. Who cares? Steph Curry's fun.
Yeah, like, every kid loves Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't understand. There are certain things I guess I should understand more. Like, there's always going to be people that hate somebody no matter what they do because it's jealousy. And you're jealous that Steph Curry is just in fuego and drops dimes like it's nobody's business. And you wish you could do something like
that. All he wants to do is shoot threes. He's ruining the game.
Okay, really quick before
Chooses
we get
out. Mouthpiece, really arrogant.
This is yes or no, not one word. Yes or no, Nick Chubb.
No.
Okay. Did you see the workout video?
Who cares?
Yes. I mean, he fits what you're doing this year. Like, he's essentially a Pacheco and Kareem Hunt in one body.
Do it.
Why not? Kick the tires
exactly,
of Kareem
why
Hunt
not, man?
with Nick Chubb.
I'm in.
Mm.
Of course, because you know his name. And he jumped over a box.
He jumped over a box, bro.
Who's to say that's not AI?
No, Nick Chubb, come on.
Even AI
know.
Can't make up Chubb's body type. It's
I don't
true.
Know, man. AI's
and
doing
I
a lot of things these days.
I mean, could you imagine Holtis, Chubb?
Yes.
Drinking the nectars of the, gargling the nectars of the end zone gods as Chubb? Like, that's just a call that you save.
Fantastic.
And you never get rid of it.
Plus, when was the last time he was a relevant player?
Two years ago before he had the gruesome injury of his knee.
Yeah.
And then last year
he broke his foot.
Yeah, absolutely.